four PR 2023 008619. This is an EPC site plan final sign off. This is off of at 2601 Second Street Northwest. Is the applicant and or agent here?
Yes, we're here. Good morning,
Hey,
Jerry.
good morning, guys. If you would, could you please just briefly describe the proposed final sign off?
Sure. Thank you. This is Jim Strozier with Consensus Planning, and with me today is Jonathan Turner. This site plan went through the EPC process for review, and we're here for sign off. The EPC did approve this with conditions. We addressed those conditions with the case planner and received, I believe it's included in the packet, their review and approval that we had met those conditions. We did receive the comments and are prepared to go through those with the DFT staff this morning. And I think that's it. This is a car wash. It's an old abandoned gas station, convenience store, car wash on the site. And yeah, trying to do something new and better, and worked with the neighborhood association to address concerns that they had. We're very specific related to the access and circulation route for the project in order to minimize any adverse impacts to the community. This is within the cumulative impacts area and is called out as a specific use that has to be addressed with that. And that was also prepared and reviewed as part of the EPC process as well. So with that, I think we did have a facilitated meeting. That was part of the EPC process as well. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that update, Jim. All right, let's go to DFT staff now for their comments. Andre with Water Authority.
Okay, I'm basically filling in for David Gutierrez. These are his comments, basically stating that the availability statement has been executed and it did expire, but we don't need a new one. We'll extend this. There was a lot of comments on the utility plan. I think a lot of these can be addressed when you come in for your connection permit. So basically, I don't think we have any objections to the EPC site plan sign off that any of this could be resolved at the connection permit stage.
Okay. Thank you. This is Jim Strozier again. Thank you, Andre. And that was kind of our thought reviewing it as well. And we appreciate not needing to update the availabilities letter at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Andre. Do you have anything else?
Negative.
All right. Thank you, sir. Let's go to code enforcement next. Jeff, you want to relay your code enforcement comments?
Yes, I'll go ahead and slip in for this one and the next case to it, at least. The comments on this one, drive-through lanes adjacent to the public right-of-way shall be screened by a landscape buffer or wall at least 3 feet in height as per IDO 551 or 55I2A. The lane exiting from the building on the south side of the property, if you could zoom in on this, the site plan on that or the exit, requires a little bit of additional screening. It's only partially screened if, down on the south side, the exit side. Scroll down, Will. And then if you can zoom in there, a little, we'll want to see that corner. So you can see how that wall is called out as number five, and it's just a little shy of screening that exit lane there. So the wall should extend down just past the corner where the vehicle is turned, approximately due south of the west wall of the building. I already spoke to Jonathan Turner about this the other day, and Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but you indicated you will plan on making that correction but you may not have it submitted in time for this DFT review session. And that's the only comments, the only objection I had. So I'll leave that for Jonathan to respond to.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. And that is correct. We did have a conversation on extending the small portion there in front of the drive-through exit of the tunnel. And so we will move that amendment to the plan and change to show compliance.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Does that conclude your comments, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Everything else looked great. Thank you.
All right, awesome. Thank you for confirming that. All right, let's go to Whitney with Parks. Whitney?
I'm here. This is Whitney Thalen with Parks and Recreation. And my comment was just related to I'm not seeing any landscaping calculations or notation or marks on the landscaping plan itself indicating the street frontage trees. So I see them. Oh, I'm sorry. I just noticed the 25 foot. So all I need is either a calculation or showing the distance from the back of the curb, and we'll be good on this one.
Okay. Yeah. And Whitney, I would just point out, I'm looking as well for the street tree calculations. That was addressed, and we did address that with the neighbors and the planning department as part of the EPC process to make sure we're actually tearing up the existing sidewalk that's at the curb and relocating that in order to create the parkway strip along Second Street. In order to create the street trees and the parkway strip in between the drive lane and the sidewalk. And then in addition to that, let's see, I just lost my train of thought. But that was part of that review process and okay. Certainly what the EPC addressed as part of their review and approval, but we can certainly add the street tree calculation. I believe we need that. And the only on Manal, oh, I know what I was going to mention. We're also eliminating an existing curb cut along mm-hmm. Second Street in order to create a continuous sidewalk and street tree canopy along the Second right. Street frontage. That's no longer has a conflict of a driveway along there. So that was another, I think, important component to this project and certainly was appreciated by the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. And then I have typically just been referring the species to planning. So if they have any comments about I do notice that the ones along Second are all the same, and I'm not sure if that will meet the requirements, but I'll leave that up to them to speak on. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Whitney. Let's go to Tiquan with Hydrology.
Tiquan Chen, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved revised grading drainage plan with engineer stamp date of January 19, 2024. Hydrology has no objection. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiquan.
Thank you, Tiquan. Let's go to Ernest with Transportation.
Ernest Army Hill Transportation. Transportation has an approved TCL dated September 5th, 2023. We have no objection. Please note, right-of-way dedication or sidewalk easement is required at the northeast corner of the property, as public sidewalk must be contained within the right-of-way or within an easement. I believe this was made a condition of for, you know, before you go get your CO that we need to see that.
Great. Thank you, Ernest. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernest. Let's see, is it Marcelo for this one?
Yes, Marcelo Ibarra with planning. So I was just going to mention a few things on this one. I was going to comment on, to confirm that you're in compliance with the DPM table 7229. Clarify that if an infrastructure list will be needed for this application and its development, and if so, a recorded IIA infrastructure improvement agreement will be required prior to final sign-off. Clarify how the submittal is meeting all the standards of the IDO, especially from section 5.6. I know the screen was already brought up by code enforcement, so just lacking a little bit there. Also, we provided you with the sections from the IDO 5.6. As far as species of trees, landscape, and because of the overhead electrical distribution lines, we made a couple of recommendations for what type of trees should be planted there. I've noticed on the site plan that you guys had green ash trees that are not recommended for this region, City Forestry team recommended more types of trees, and I can just follow up with you guys with those names, considering the height because of those overhead electrical distribution lines. And also, it is recommended by the City Forestry team the trees should be planted in a pattern that alternates species, 1 to 3 trees to protect against the potential spread of disease. Also clarify how site plan is meeting the standards of CP09, since you guys are within that overlay zone, and also especially meeting with 511E building design. And clarify how the querying lanes are meeting the drive-through standards are as per the IDO section 55I2. And if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to follow through with anything that you guys may come up with.
Okay. I think I tried to take notes, Marcelo, so I'll try and go through some quick responses. Once again, Jim Stroger with Consensus Planning. There's no infrastructure list associated with this project. Once again, the screen wall, I think, and I think you had some questions about the parking and queuing in the written comments. I believe that Jeffrey Palmer has addressed all of those with that minor change to the extension of the screen wall. We will have that addressed. I guess I would like some clarification on the City Forester comments on the green ash and the alternating street tree species. Is that a requirement? And if so, how does that get addressed? I'm not a landscape architect, but we have a registered landscape architect that prepared the plan, and the primary street tree along Second Street is the Texas red oak, and I'm not sure specifically where the conflicts that you're referring to are with the overhead power line, and I'm unclear as to how that gets into the process, and I just in general, going through the entire EPC process where the landscape plan is kind of front and center as part of their review, how we get to this point and have to potentially make changes to that landscape plan. And I believe that this landscape plan was done by Hilltop, and I'd rather not try and get that amended if we don't have to.
Do you want to expand a little bit on this one, Hannah?
Sure.
On the things that we identified in this specific site plan, landscape plan?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hi, Jim. I hope you're doing well. Good, thank you. So the city foresters' comments, yes, they are required to be addressed. Unfortunately, and I don't want to give a lecture on this, but because of the heat island issues that we're having here in Albuquerque, some of our trees are losing their adaptability in the area. Ash trees, it happens in other cities here in New Mexico. Ash trees are not doing well. Some red buds are not doing well anymore. So a city forester does make comments per, their observations throughout the city. That's why we ask that you switch those with other species. And then as far as the trees, not only the street trees, but also any other trees that you're placing on the site, there's always a chance that in the future there may be potential diseases. And if everything is planted next to each other, we are going to lose the entire canopy, the entire lane of trees. That's why we're asking to alternate them.
Right. No, I'm not questioning the city foresters' recommendations. I'm just questioning, I guess, number one, I would make a very strong request that the city forester and their comments and review needs to be incorporated into the EPC site plan review because, and this is just, selfish on my part. Our clients think that they have an approved landscape plan when they leave the EPC, and they don't anticipate having to change out all of their trees between
Absolutely.
EPC and DFT. And so I think we've got to figure out a way to get that review incorporated into the EPC process. The city forester comments used to happen at EPC, and I don't know why they don't happen anymore. And then my real question is, where is that in the rules that the city forester comments at this stage of the game trump the EPC approval of the site of the landscape plan? That's really my question. I don't disagree with the general nature of the comments.
Yes.
I'm just trying to figure out from a procedural standpoint how we can get this to work better for
Sure.
our clients
We'll
standpoint.
talk about that, Jim. We've been having a lot of conversations in general. I think we were just without a city forester for a while. And so now that's where Bonnie Strange left planning too. So she's a senior planner with City Forestry Division, and they have an assistant also now. And so they are looking at ways to be more involved in the planning and development side of things. I think traditionally, due to short staffing, all of the privileges, responsibilities, whatever you want to call them, in the street tree ordinance, which is referenced in the IDEO section,
Yes.
gives a lot of power over trees in the city, especially within right of way. And so that's where that authority is sort of coming from. I don't know that it's always been used to its full extent, but they've done a lot of work to start tracking trees and looking at the long-term health of trees as the climate changes and things of that nature. So I'm going to take your comment, with our, we agree. I can tell you that up front. And so we'll work to make sure that they're included in the EPC process as well.
Thank you,
Yeah,
Whitney.
thank you.
I also wanted to add, Jim, thank you so much for bringing this up because I actually brought it up myself yesterday to my manager, Jay, and the associate director. And I thought it wasn't fair to you guys to, have an approved EPC plan and then the project coming to us with, technically, I don't think the landscaping plan was even checked. And the reason is they don't have anyone with the expertise. That's why none of those comments were made at the time. So we did speak about it yesterday. And
Okay.
we're going to be involved in that process. I apologize to you. I totally agree. That's an inconvenience for you guys. It should not have happened. And I'm so sorry that I know the Hilltop is out of business right now. I did see the landscape architect's stamp. I wonder if you guys are able to reach out to him and see if hopefully he has the files or there should be an archive or something. But I hope that it's not going to create you so much trouble.
Well, and I appreciate that. We'll get it addressed. I mean, we'll figure it out. I appreciate Whitney and Hannah your comments on that. I would just state for the record that we did get comments on the landscape plan as part of the EPC review, and we actually made changes to the landscape plan as part of the EPC review. And so that makes it kind of doubly
Sure.
problematic. Right.
Some items were checked, but some other items were not.
Right.
And we kept it very minimal. We didn't go into too much detail in your comments because of the same reason you mentioned. You already were approved. But as far as the trees, those are really important to us, to the city forestry. It's important to the city, to people, to your own project, and to everyone. That's why that's the minimum that we're gonna ask right now, and we appreciate you addressing those comments. I really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. Thank you. I appreciate that. And
Thank
then
you.
I think, I guess the only other trying to go through Marcelo. So I think that as part of Jeffrey Palmer's review and with the change to the screen wall, that addresses the drive-through standards in the IDO. And then I think that the facade requirements related to the overlay, the overlay zone in this case, pretty minimal requirements, and those were also reviewed and addressed as part of the EPC process. I don't know if you need anything specific to show compliance other than the fact that we do comply, and those compliance issues were addressed as part of the EPC review. It seems like that is that's we feel like those things have been addressed, and I sort of put that, and I believe that that was covered by Mr. Palmer's review. And then I think, just as a clarification, I think in your comments, it talked about the 4th Street, Main Street overlay, which this does not fall with, this property is doesn't fall within the Main Street. It's within the quarter mile distance, which we've been told that that is only related to sort of the context of the Main Street, and that the Main Street rules and in effect the Main Street opportunities do not apply to this property because it's not actually within the Main Street corridor itself.
You are correct on that one. Yes.
Okay.
And then
Thank
also
you.
just to mention that if any walls, fences, and signage, just so you know that they're to be processed on a separate permit process through code enforcement.
Agreed. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.
So
Sure thing.
Jim, it sounds like you're kind of objecting to the late nature of these comments coming in after the EPC approval, but you don't have an issue addressing these comments, correct?
I think that's correct, Jay. Yeah,
Okay.
we'll get these comments addressed. They all seem pretty minor. I think the landscape plan, that we just have some potentially some issues with the fact that the company that did it is no longer in business, but we'll figure it
Yeah.
out.
Well, I'll
We'll
tell you
figure it out.
this, regarding the larger, bigger picture issue of city forestry being involved with EPC review, I'm going to send out an email after our DFT meeting concludes today to Megan Jones with UD&D, maybe another UD&D staff member or two, Jolene Wolfley, and some of our staff here, and get the conversation started
Yeah.
about the concern you brought up, Jim, about including the city forester at the EPC stage. I totally agree that the earlier you get those comments, the better. And hopefully, at least with certain EPC site plans, perhaps, or maybe all of them, if we're really lucky, we can get the city forester perhaps involved in review at the EPC site plan stage.
Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate
Especially if
that.
that used to be the case, especially if that was past precedent at some point in the past. Maybe we
Right.
can see about that.
Yeah,
So,
and I appreciate you guys taking that taking that comment to heart, and if we can get that addressed, I think that'll make for a much smoother process going forward for a lot of projects.
Yeah, that's, we agree. And so for the second submittal, just FYI, the next DFT meeting will be on May the 15th. You know, our agendas are usually created on Tuesday evenings, Wednesdays. If you get that second submittal in to us, you know, by, you know, early next week or, you know, before we get that agenda out, we can get you on the May 15th agenda if it's possible. I mean, I know you got to work with a landscape plan, so I don't know if it's possible, but if you do, we could, that'd be the next meeting we could get you on, the next agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Just make sure too that you note that when you email it to Planders, they just note this is the second submittal for this project, and put in the subject line, the project number, which is PR 2023-8619, and the application number, which is SI 2024-00547. Just to make it easier for us to track it. Thanks.
Can you repeat that SI number again?
Yeah, it's on the agenda, but it's SI 2024-00547.
And that's the number that should be on the
in the subject line, if at all possible. Just note, like, put something like second submittal, EPC site plan sign off, and then put PR, you know, put the project number, and then slash SI 2024-00547. It'll help us know what this is for and track it, basically.
So and just to be clear, so my question was really on the actual site plan, DFT site plan signature block, we have the SI number from the EPC application. Should it be this number on that signature block or that number or both?
It should be this number, Jim. Okay. In the future, when we start up Tyler, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We may do sign off as a true sign off where you don't have a new app. You may have to pay an application fee, but you may not have a separate technical application, but right now, yeah, there's a separate application number for the sign off versus the EPC site plan. The project number is the same though.
All right, got it. Okay,
yep.
We'll make that change.
All right, thanks, guys. You guys got any more questions?
Thank you, Jay. I just you said submit by early next week. What will be a hard
if you're able to.
Yeah, and I think we will be able to maybe by Wednesday by noon will be the
Well, so the difference is, well, like, if this was DHO, we'd have a formal deferral. There's no formal deferrals with DFT because this isn't a formal meeting. But so that basically means that we're not going to, by default, put you on the agenda. So that just means that instead of, like, a Friday noon deadline, it's really, you know, it's really needs to be in by Wednesday. You know, that's the latest we're going to have the agenda finalized. So if you could get it in by Tuesday, close of business, or early Wednesday, I don't think that would jam things up too much for our agenda.
That sounds good. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yep, no problem, guys. All right.